This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Adam Hochberg. The opening ceremonies for the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro will be held tomorrow night, but competition's already underway. And this year, dozens of athletes with North Carolina connections will be competing in events including track, swimming, air rifle, and canoe slalom. Former UNC and Duke basketball players Harrison Barnes and Kyrie Irving will be there as part of the USA men's Olympic team, coached by Mike Krzyzewski. And former Tar Heel and two-time Olympic gold medalist Tobin Heath is playing with the USA women's soccer team for the third time. Also in Rio is a group of student journalists from the UNC Chapel Hill School of Media and Journalism. They're working with the Olympic News Service, and two of them join me today. Luis Fernandez is a recent UNC Chapel Hill graduate covering the men's basketball team. Luis, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
And Jessica Coates is a rising senior at UNC covering the equestrian beat. Jessica, happy to have you here.
Thanks, Adam.
Luis, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit more about what the team of student journalists is doing down in Rio.
All right. So what we're doing is we're working with the Olympic News Service, whose kind of responsibility is to cover what's going on, but also to relay information back to other journalists around the world who, you know, say aren't able to be at every single venue. So what we are doing specifically, we're called a flash quote reporter, and we work with sports writers in our sports. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead after games are over or, you know, during press conferences, we'll talk with athletes, you know, pull them aside and kind of like the press, you know, scrum that's going on after games, getting quotes from them about, you know, the Olympics, their game, their performance, or just their, you know, time in Rio. And then we'll take those quotes, turn them out, and post them on a website where media from all over the world can access them and use them in their stories.
So you're covering the men's basketball team, or all the men's basketball teams, I guess. That's got to be one of the best assignments at the Olympics. How'd you score that one?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question, but I mean, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, this is like a dream come true to be able to, you know, for the next 2 weeks, watch some of the best basketball players in the world just going at it. It'll be awesome.
Okay, Luis, we'll talk more basketball in a couple minutes. But Jessica, now you're working the equestrian events, which I'm sure do not get nearly as much attention in Rio as basketball. In fact, equestrian is probably one of the least popular Olympic events, right?
Yeah, that's been my understanding. I personally, this is also an indication, I suppose, have never really been a big equestrian fan. Have always known that it exists, but never really known much about it. But since I've been here, it's really, the energy around the sport is contagious. It really is. I came in knowing nothing at all, but people here call it the best sport in the games. There are some people who have come from Britain, from Germany, just to volunteer to scoop the poop of the horses just so they can be near the athletes. Like, people love this sport. I read an article in Horse and Hound, which is a pretty notable equestrian magazine online, and there are a bunch of equestrian, I guess, publications that are really reaching out to people and trying to get them to show their enthusiasm for equestrian sports, because every year the Olympic Committee sort of views the energy around each of the sports, and it's been said in the Horse and Hound article that if equestrian sports don't get as much attention as the Olympic Committee thinks they should, then there's a chance that they might not continue for more Olympic Games.
Now, Luis, basketball starts on Saturday, and Duke's Mike Krzyzewski is coaching. And before he left for Rio, he spoke to WRAL, and he was saying that this is going to be his last Olympic team, and he has some expectations for his team this year.
No, we just want to play as well as we can, be worthy of winning the gold, and also be worthy of winning the respect, continuing to win the respect of our country and the world as we're doing it.
Mike Krzyzewski speaking before he left for Rio with the basketball team. Luis, I know you're a Carolina boy, but are you feeling anything sentimental for Coach K and his Olympic swan song?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can go that far as feeling sentimental for K. But I mean, it has been a huge era in basketball. I mean, he took over after the USA's disappointing results in Athens in 2004. They finished third. And ever since then, it's been pure dominance and pure excellence. He's won two gold medals, in 2008 in Beijing and 2012 in London. And signs seem to be pointing towards the same thing happening in 2016 in Rio.
This Team USA is a little bit less dreamy than some of the dream teams of the past. There are a couple players that ACC fans would recognize, but some big names missing. No Kobe, no LeBron, no Stephen Curry. What do you make of this team?
Well, regardless, if the top players in the NBA aren't in there, LeBron and Steph and even an aging Kobe, this is still a team full of NBA all-stars. I mean, it's something any team in the entire world would want. You have Kevin Durant, you have Carmelo Anthony, DeMar DeRozan, the list just goes on and on. So regardless, it's still a very, very good team. The only question will be if they can mesh together. And from what we've seen in the exhibition game so far, they're meshing pretty well.
Jessica, tell us a little bit about the scene on the ground in Rio. There's been a lot of talk of some 80,000 security officials on the scene.
Yeah, they're definitely intimidating. There's been, from the UNC students that and the Memphis students that have been with us that I've talked to, so there's sort of a divided opinion on how they make us feel. Some people really feel safer having all of these military vehicles and all of these men with big guns and uniforms, because they are quite sure that they're there to protect, tourists especially. There are other people like me who they make me nervous to be around. Obviously, I mean, they make it feel a little bit like we're in a war zone, and it's a very sharp contrast from the absolutely wonderful, warm welcome that we've gotten from native Rio de Janeiroans. So I find it very unsettling, but some people are really happy that they're around.
Jessica, a lot's been made about Rio's preparation or lack of preparation for the games. Athletes have been tweeting out all these photos of unfinished dorm rooms and showers that don't work and doors that don't open. What have you been seeing around Rio?
I have to say, our accommodations, we're living in one of the media villages, have been truly wonderful. I will add as a caveat that I had very low expectations coming in. I brought my own sheets and pillows and anything that I could possibly need, because I didn't trust that they would be here. But when we got to our rooms, we get fresh towels every day. We had some trouble with the hot water for a while, but apparently here you have to turn the gas on in the room in order to get hot water. We did not know that. In terms of the overall feel of the venues and readiness, there's been a lot of craziness in terms of organization, but I really imagine, I've never been in an event this large scale, but I really imagine that this sort of hurriedness at the end is just part of planning an event that's this large.
And Lewis, I understand the men's basketball team from the USA has been able to avoid all of that discomfort. They are staying in accommodations that are a bit more upscale. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty funny story. They're staying in a cruise ship just off the coast of Rio. So they're not really in the same hotel or Olympic Village that the other athletes are in. And the same goes for the women's basketball team. And a big reason for that is, of the people here, of the athletes here, men's basketball especially, they're some of the more higher paid. They're making millions upon millions of dollars. And I think part of it is, kind of a protection standpoint. When you have people that large, that big of a celebrity, you want to make sure that they're going to be okay. And part of it is just it's kind of become the expectation when it comes to, real celebrities, the big time athletes here at the Olympics. Of course you have, the greats, the Bolts, the Phelps, any of the soccer players. But then you also have the basketball players, athletes themselves will pull them aside and ask for pictures and autographs. So, I think that's really a big part of that. It's been an interesting dynamic, to say the least.
And that's not the only socioeconomic divide in Rio. Jessica, tell us about the walls that you've seen in the city itself.
Yeah. So when we were first coming in from the airport to our accommodations, we drove through mostly favelas, which are the Brazilian slums or communities. The politically correct term is communities. There were these plastic dividers that look kind of like in the States, there are like safety rails on highways in case anyone goes off, but these were higher and they looked like new plastic. And we thought, you know, maybe they'd been there for a while, but the distinguishing characteristic was that there were Olympic drawings. It looked like children's drawings in marker on them. So we were told later that they were put up maybe a week or two before we arrived, and their intention was to hide the favelas from incoming tourists. But it's funny because they were see-through plastic and they were not very tall and you could absolutely see over them. But we thought it was interesting that they, you know, they were on every road. So there was a lot of effort gone into putting them up.
Student journalists Jessica Coates and Luis Fernandez talking to us from Rio. They are there covering the Olympics for the UNC School of Media and Journalism. Jessica and Luis, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
You can find more of their work and the reporting project that sent them there on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Frank Stacio talks with the writer behind the advice column, Ask Polly. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.